Okay, I think appreciate that. Thank you. One of the things I'm working on right now is guilt and shame around, say, my mom. She's 92 years old, has very, very bad health things that she's dealing with, bad lungs, bad kidneys, bad heart, disabled, cannot get out of the wheelchair, so she's trapped in the house, which she's been trapped in the house for she's been trapped in the house for 3 years, can't walk, and she's in another state. And some of the guilt that I have is not being able to be there for her, to see her. I do talk to her every night at about 8 o'clock. I call her, but her state of mind is she repeats things over and over and over, so she's dealing with dementia also. She's been a very loving person, a very supportive person my whole life, and I'm feeling an overwhelming feeling of guilt and shame of not being a loving son in many ways.
Well, I think that comes right back to the same question as your first question. That's the non-being self nagging at you with its guilt. And when you say, I'm feeling guilty because I am not a good enough son, my offering is that that's more denial. And when I get back to the truth of it, I'm feeling guilty for one reason and one reason only. I have guilt inside of me. And guilt will always put a shadow over your highest state of being. And so your mind may can hook that guilt up to any object of attention. You know, in today's world, you know, there are many people, you know, we have a thing we call, or the world is labeled as survivor's guilt. Someone died and someone else didn't. The person who didn't says, I'm guilty because they can put the guilt on any circumstance or situation, but you get a whole step closer to healing that guilt or fear or whatever it is when you realize that the only reason you're feeling guilt is there's guilt in there, and what you want to do is forgive as to your guilt, remove literally, totally, completely the guilt. And so you get a step closer when you come out of the conversation about that is denial, I'm guilty because, and recognize I'm experiencing guilt because I have thought disorders tied to self-deprecation. Thought disorders tied to the belief that there's something wrong with me. And when I forgive those thoughts, guilt will disappear totally. And I can be in the same circumstance. I'm in one state. Mom is in another state. I get on the phone to her, and now, because I have freed myself of guilt, I am, even though I'm, you know, 1,000 miles away, I am totally, completely, 100% available to her as the active presence of love in this moment and every other moment, rather than being in the energy of guilt and setting that resonance between us. So my offering is guilt is nothing but a thought disorder that is a reflection of thoughts about self and the idea that there's something wrong with self. And I'd support you just getting that wake up sheet out and forgiving guilt, letting loose of it.
Okay, well, thank you.
Breathing with you, good breath. That's the kind that removes energy.
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of breathing with it.
Awesome.
Yeah, the impatient, I guess one of the biggest things is the impatience that I feel when she constantly repeats herself. You know, I breathe before I get on the phone with her. I talk about being compassionate, and then something just breaks. She'll repeat something 25, I counted yesterday, 26 times in a half hour that she said over and over. And
right.
I want to be loving, but I find myself impatient.
So let me ask a question. If you think about in our codependence work, we introduce the concept of what we call a power person. And a power person is a person who, and there are three conditions that have to be met for a power person dynamic to be developed in the mind. First one is, this person had more power over your life than you did at some point. The second condition of is they were not functioning as love. And the third condition was that I perceived the circumstance with them as survival. If those three things happen, this person has more power in my life than I do, this is survival, and they're not functioning out of love, then what happens is I absorb literally the energy that they are holding into my physiology, and it becomes part of my non-being self. In the future, and this I offer is a dynamic that runs the world, period. It is the dynamic that runs the world. When I become stressed, or pardon me, ultra-stressed, then what I'll do is I'll do what my power person did that I hated the most. So my question to you would be, how did it feel when your power person had no patience with you?
Not good at all. And I don't consider her my power person. I would say that's my dad.
Yeah, whoever it was, I'm not saying it was her. I'm just saying, how did it feel when your power person did that behavior that you're now doing toward her?
Oh,
and you identify
a 10.
Okay. Right. Okay. That's what needs forgiveness. The reason you're doing with her when she speaks 25 times over, you know, says the same thing 25 times over in a half an hour, the reason that you can't stand as a space of active present love for her and with her, is because you have an unresolved power person dynamic, and that means that you have goals for her that are probably similar to what your power person had for you. And when you didn't achieve the goal that your power person, dad in this case it sounds like, had for you, that's when he'd go into that impatience. So here is here you are, little Derek, as a, you know, a 4-year-old, and dad just said, now here's what you do, son. You put this over here and you put it with that and you do that, and then that happens. And you know, you were 4, you didn't have the brain cells for that, and you didn't have the dexterity, and you tried to do it, and dad went into that, oh, why can't you just do what you're told to do? Why don't you understand, kid? And because, and usually a power person is, we're genetically linked to them. It's usually a parent. In this case, you've identified that. So my offering would be that you had the genetic potential to be in that state of impatience. Dad played that out with you probably more often than you wish it had ever happened. And each time he did, each time he, you know, radiated that energy, you would just draw it in and absorb it. You know, if you think about a middle C tuning fork, if you hit it on a desk and put it near a second middle C tuning fork, that second middle C tuning fork absorbs the energy and starts to vibrate. And so when you absorb that energy of his, whatever it was, impatience, rage at you, upset, disturbance, whatever word you would use to describe it, having absorbed that, you know, maybe at the age of 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, 30, maybe still today absorbing that energy from him, then until that's forgiven, when you move into a space where you're ultra-stressed, and ultra-stressed would mean that I have really strong goals that are not being met here. In other words, gee, I'd like mom to, you know, the same as dad wanted me to get it and understand and perform the way he wanted me to, here's that old goal resonating in me. I want mom to, you know, have a logical, sensible conversation with me and understand and, you know, just do what I want her to do here, have a sensible conversation. And that goal creates a stress in your mind, which when, you know, the first time she does it, you go, okay, that's cute, mom. The second time, oh, okay, mom, I can take that. Okay, I understand, mom, that you get a little dementia going on, so it's all right. But when that goal is repeatedly violated and your stress zooms up over the roof, all of a sudden, you are now right back in relationship with your power person. And the behavior that your power person did that you hated the most is the very behavior that you will do. And it's a huge, I've only seen, Derek, over the years, 50 years of doing this, I've only seen maybe 5 or 6 people who've approached and dealt with that power person dynamic in their lives. I've only seen 5 or 6 out of the thousands of people that I've worked with. It's a major, major piece of work. But I'll offer that maybe, you know, this would be a place where you could stand on the phone with mom and recognize, I don't have to play out what dad did. I can let that loose. I can let that impatience and anger or whatever goes along with it go. And here's, because notice the conflict with the earlier issue you were talking about. I'm feeling guilty because I can't be there for mom. And now here I am on the phone because mom isn't doing what I want her to do. I'm not going to be with her. I'm going to be in anger instead of being the space of love. And as you forgive that impatience dynamic that literally energetically was absorbed from your power person, then you'll call mom. And mom could be in the most nonsensical conversation, the most inane, silly, irrelevant conversation, and you're calling mom just to be a space of love with mom, and that's what you'll do. But as long as you've got the goal for her to make sense of the conversation, like your father had as your power person, the goal for you to make sense of whatever this is, then the energy that you absorb from him is what's going to run your physiology. Big forgiveness work there. Remembering that forgiveness means removal. Forgiveness has got nothing to do with letting yourself or anybody else off the hook. Forgiveness is, I cancel the goal. In this case, I cancel the goal for mom to make sense and refrain from repeating herself. So I cancel my goal for mom to make sense and refrain from repeating yourself, and breathe and let yourself drop into that energy of deep impatience and move it out of your physiology. And then you'll call mom just to hang out with mom, whatever mom does.
Wow. Yeah, I'm speechless right now. That's just really powerful. Thank you.
I'm with you. That's the core of our codependence work. You know, the reason I say that this is what runs the world, you know, there are only 3 behaviors that are possible for someone, literally in their whole lives. There are only 3 behaviors that a person will ever do until they understand and resolve the power person dynamic. And the 3 behaviors will be controlled by the level of stress that they're under. The first level of behavior will be when there's no stress, I'll do whatever I did to get along with my power person. When stress starts to build, I'll do whatever I did to resist and survive with my power person. And then when I become ultra stressed, I'll do what my power person did to me that I hated the most. Friends, the world. So if what I did to get along with my power person was, you know, I was Mr. Nice Guy and Mr. Cool, I'll call mom, no stress. Mr. Guy, nice guy, Mr. Cole, hi, mom, how are you? I cherish you deeply. And mom says something. And then she says it again, and you breathe, and you go, yeah, I know, mom, and I'm just here to cherish you. And then stress starts to build. And then maybe if, let's say, the second level of behavior, the second level of stress, how did I resist and survive with my power person? Maybe I got into anger. And so there'll come a point where when that goal, the energy response to that goal starts to build, it's like, God, mom, can't you just shut up and talk, tell me something logical? And then ultra-stressed, just totally, completely flooded with impatience and, you know, literally going into the same berserk pain that you felt when dad created that impatience and rage toward you. And that's a whole energy dynamic that just needs to be faced and forgiven, and that's exactly what the forgiveness wake-up sheet process is for and about. And then, once you do that, you'll call mom, and mom will have I mean, the same conversation, like word for word, taped. She'll say it 50 times, and your mind will simply be, "And I'm just here to hang out with Mom and hold the space and let her know I cherish her." And you'll breathe with her, and you'll smile inwardly with her, and you'll fully embrace her in the state of being that you are. But while that old non-being self is hanging around, it's got different ideas.
Well, thank you. I'm really looking forward to my conversation with her tonight with a new perspective.
Sweet. Well, I'll be holding the space with you, and just notice at each moment when you're talking to her what your goal is at the moment. If you feel your stress starting to build, just cancel the goal. You know, if my thought is, "Gee, Mom, you know, you already told me that, and I really want to have a different conversation with you," then cancel your need to have a different conversation with her and reset the goal to just be in a space of embracing her fully in your love, whatever she does. And then maybe you give us a shout tomorrow and let us know how it went, or Monday and let us know how it went.
No, definitely. Yes, I've
got a big clock. You're in Central Time, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so at 8 o'clock tonight, we'll be holding you and Mom in the space.
Awesome.
Holding you in your heart. Yeah. And then, you know, I'll just invite everybody that's listening to the show, and there are people all over the world, and, you know, 8 o'clock Central Time, let's just join as a community and be holding both you and Mom and Dad. Because Dad only did that, you know. There can be a tendency to go, "Yeah, Dad, boy, what he did was so awful." You know something? Dad had a power person. And just like, until you understand it and forgive it, you have no control over what you do. It just, bang, there it is. He had no control. And he had no tools. He didn't have a clue that could be changed. You're starting to step into. But remember, he had a power person who had a power person, had a power person, had a power person. And you're the one in the bloodline, perhaps or probably the early adopter, the first one who's ever conceived of. This could all be dissolved and changed. And you're going to do the gut-level work. You're going to do the heavy lifting of literally freeing the bloodline from that dynamic. And, you know, it might go back to great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, or maybe great-great-great-great-grandmother. Might be where it started. And literally, as you process that energy out of your physiology, as you bring that energy up in the presence of active love and dissolve it, great, 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 great grandmother will heal, even though she hasn't been in her body for centuries. And everybody that's been touched between her and you will have the opportunity to be freed of that, the painful energetic impact of that. And your future generations will have the energy window open where they too can be freed of it. It's an awesome opportunity.
I look forward to it.
You know, one of the most...
Oh, hello, this is Derek.
Well, hey, Derek, welcome, young man. How do you be?
Well, thank you. I first wanted to say that that was a real, real powerful meditation. I almost didn't have words for it. It really resonated really deep with me, and I felt like I was right where you were describing, you know, that inner self, that inner love, and really, really appreciate that.
Sweet.
And I just kind of wanted to give you a little report on my story from last week with my phone call with my mom.
Please do.
Yeah.
Maybe give us a little background so that people who are listening that weren't on the call know what you were dealing with.
Oh, sure. Well, my mom's background of my mom is she's 92, and she's stuck in a wheelchair. She can't walk. She's got heart problems, liver problems, kidney problems, all kinds of stuff, and experiencing not the first stages of dementia, but I think a little bit more advanced, although she still recognizes people and knows who they are and things like that. And she's in a different state than I am, quite a few hundred miles away. And I was explaining on Friday that I feel a little guilty about not being there to help her, and getting very impatient with talking to her. I call her every night around 8 o'clock. And being very impatient with her repeating things over and over and over and over. And I mean, countless times on the same phone call, and then the next night it'll be the same thing. And I guess the biggest piece of advice, or what I really felt resonated to me on the call on Friday with you, was, you know, to stand in the space of love for her. And, you know, and my dad is my power person, very obvious to me. But so what I did is practiced, or was tried to be aware of, on Friday night when I called her, Saturday when I called her, and yesterday when I called her, to just let it be. However many times she repeats things over and over, not to judge it, and be stand in a space of love for her. And Friday night I found that very difficult to do. And I did, you know, I didn't get impatient, because my main thought on Friday was to just remember that, remind myself of that over and over. And I was able to do that, although I still found myself aggravated by it. I didn't jump at her or tell her, you know, you've told me that a bunch of times. I just kept repeating to myself, stand in a space of love and let her be, and let her repeat herself. And so I got through that phone call. And then Saturday, before I called her, I did a little meditation, a little contemplation before doing the same thing, saying, you know, I'm going to stand in a space of love for her and accept it. And it ended up being a long call, 45 minutes. And I was able to get to a place a little bit more where it was just okay. I was smiling, and, you know, she'd say the same thing over, and I would smile and hold her in a space of love. But I was still aware in the back of my mind of my impatience and wishing it was different. And Sunday, it was a little bit shorter call. It was Easter evening, and my dad answered the phone. I talked to him first, and some of the thoughts, you know, of being aggravated by him entered, and I allowed myself to remember and remind myself to stand in a space of love for him and her. And I was able to do that for the most part. And I think, you know, my impatience was still there. The thought was still there. But the thing that I value the most out of what happened was I was also conscious of reminding myself to stand in a space of love. And so I took the last 3 days as practice of getting there, and I'm not there yet, but I'm aware that I'm on my way. So I guess that's kind of my update, my report on what happened.
Well, that's awesome. And I will remind you, you know, listening to your language, I will remind you once again of our definition of denial. And that denial is the act of thinking or speaking as though something outside of us is the cause of something going on inside of us. And notice that your speaking was about being aggravated by that. And my offering is that your forgiveness work now, your assignment, should you choose to accept it, and this tape will self-destruct in 5 seconds, your assignment is to forgive aggravation, because you've never been aggravated at or by your mother or your father. There's just aggravation in you. And you bring it to mother or father, and perhaps there have been a few other people that you brought it to. Maybe even yourself, the person you look at in the mirror. Perhaps you've been, in your mind, aggravated at yourself. And to realize that aggravation is just a perceptual construct based in thought disorders that I can place anywhere, on anybody. and think of them as cause. And when I do that, when I do that act of denial, I literally have to dissociate from the true cause, which is inside of me. And when I dissociate from it, it's no longer mine to change. It's kind of like, you know, creating a file on your computer, putting a password on it, and then forgetting the password. You're never going to open that file again. When I say that made me really aggravated, then I've created a dissociation from the cause of my aggravation, which is internal to me, and it's no longer mine to heal. The password to access that aggravation that is probably genetic from what you've shared about Dad. Dad probably spent a lot of years being aggravated. Got number one son. And at himself and at Mom and seemed like at everybody. So you probably came by it honestly. So it's probably a pretty potent energy that's been around in the family system for a long time. And I could just about bet if we had a deep conversation with your dad, he came by it as honestly as you have. And if you have a son, good chance, I don't know whether you have any children, but if you have a son, you probably passed it on. And if you were to have a son tomorrow, if you don't resolve it, then your son will probably carry on the family tradition. Or the password for accessing the root of the aggravation is forgiveness. That's where to dig out the wake-up sheet. Aggravation would be the feeling, the person you're putting it on, in this case, Dad or Mom, the circumstance, the situation, the goal, and then the collapsing, the canceling of that goal will collapse the surface mind's perceptual construct based in hidden aggravation. And as it collapses in on itself, and you may have to do that many times to move into those generational patterns tied in with this meditation. You know, do the wake-up sheet first and then go right in, dive in with this meditation, and you'll reach deeper and deeper into that dissociated content until you remove it. And then, no matter what happened in your world, aggravation could not be part of your mind's construct because the content isn't there. You may have to do that, as Yeshua said 2,000 years ago, 77 times 70 times. And when you're finished with it, you'll be finished with it. And we'll hold the space for that. Any support we can be, that's what we're here to do. Breathing on that one?
I'm breathing.
Awesome. So does that make sense? Does that fit for you?
Oh, sure. I guess not to pat myself on the back, I'm just really happy, an inner happiness of the steps that I took just the 3 days. I mean, I didn't expect, although I know it's possible, to let go of something overnight, but all three phone calls, I had that awareness of holding them in love, and I don't think
powerful.
I do that for the most part.
What a gift to give them and to give yourself. Wow. Profound.
Yes, it's still
probably
very
the first person. You're probably the first person in your bloodline to ever suspect that that's even possible.
I believe so.
Yeah. What a gift to give. Cousins, aunts, uncles. Once you put that into the genes, you know, there's a piece of research that was done in Japan a couple decades ago. And it was done with a particular type of mouse or rat, I don't remember what. And it was about, they put them in a maze, and, you know, it took X amount of time for the rats to run the maze. And over time, the rats shortened the time it took to run the maze. They picked up with that same kind of rat. The experiment in America, about a decade later, 10 years had gone by. Obviously, they had rats that had no relationship to the rats that were being researched on in Japan. And the researchers here, when they used the same maze, the rats that they put in the maze started out where the rats in the research 10 years earlier in Japan had finished. When we put something into the field, it becomes available to everyone connected in that field. And as you know, having worked with A Course in Miracles, A Course informs us millions yet unborn will benefit from the work you do. So congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you.
We're delighted to be here and be on your team.